What I will be presenting is an approach to the proposed assumption problem, pretty much along the lines of the, well, in the spirit of what Mr. Churchill was presenting yesterday, the same type of philosophy, in trying to dilute the cosmological constant into the bulk of a brainwave scenario. But the difference will be in the setup. Here we'll use higher coordination brains, include higher curvature terms in the bulk. And at several points, I will revisit work that was done in collaboration with Corradini, Kakushatse, and Langfelder a few years ago. And the outline of the talk is the following. I will first flash what the cosmological quantum problem is. But since it will be very brief, since it was done in previous talks. Then I will introduce a setup of infinite volume extra dimensions, in particular those with higher curvature terms in the bulk in the form of a Gauss-Bonnet combination. Then move on into different case studies. First, the coordination 2 case. That will show the seed of the type of solution we are looking for, essentially that the geometry of our world, the 3 plus 1 dimensional geometry, is not affected by a cosmological constant or a tension of the brain. And then I will go into the higher coordination setups to introduce more complexity and perhaps widen the regime of validity or the amount of cosmological constant of tension that we can tolerate. Several issues of singularities and smoothing will appear there, and we will see how to treat them in particular in the coordination 3 case, and then go to the conclusions. So the cosmological constant problem essentially is to reconcile these two facts, that from observations we get geometry tells us, implies a cosmological constant term of this order of magnitude. So the number you go there in an action. However, if you take a quantum field theory approach with a quantum field theory with a cutoff, then the contribution to the energy density from zero point energies grows like the fourth power of the cutoff. And for example, you can take that cutoff to be the Susi-Varkin scale. This would be very optimistically TeV scale. And you see the huge discrepancy with this element. So the approach we want to take is that, no matter what number we get from this type of estimate, no matter what this contribution is to this number, we still can get a four-dimensional Minkowski space. Okay, so we want to get closer to this estimate, to this observational value, by being insensitive to the number that we plug in there. Okay, that's the idea. In order to achieve that, we will embed our 3 plus 1 dimensional space-time into a higher dimensional bulk. And we want to be insensitive to this contribution from quantum field theory, 0.0 energies. So we will use this vacuum energy to deform the extra space instead of our 3 plus 1 geometry. So in the we mentioned two cases, what it does is the vacuum energy will be creating a deficit angle. So the geometry is done with a wedge discussed yesterday. In higher correlations, it will create curvature, well, in a more complicated way. But the feature is that one. And in particular, we want to find compatibility of a flat in cos p 3 plus 1 space-time for wide range of values of lambda, so that this can account for any energy density that we want to obtain. Okay, and so the setup is the following: is capital D dimensional bulk will include an Einstein-Hilbert term in this bulk, and this is the fundamental scale for the higher dimensional theory, and we will include higher curvature terms of that form. And that's the Gauss-Bonnet combination that we can motivate, for example, from it can be string theory inspired. So there are constructions where this is the natural combination that one gets. It has nice properties that we will see in what follows. And then on the brain, this is a co-dimension small d object. So it's d minus d hypersurface with an induced Planck scale. And we can have induced Einstein-Hilbert term and the tension. All right, so let's start with the co-dimension 2 case. First, let's remove the Einstein-Hilbert term, consider just hypersurface with tension, brain with tension, in co-dimension 2, and take this answer. So on the brain, Minkowski space, and the extra two dimensions work by this factor, and the questions of motion, well, the work factor depending only on these coordinates, the extra space. The questions of motion take this form. This is so a delta function at the location of the brain. That's proportional to the tension. And the solution is this one, where rho is the polar coordinate in the extra two dimensions, making a slight change of variables from this to this new radial coordinate, we see that the extra space, the extra two dimensions, take the form of a cone with a deficit angle given by this factor. Okay, and this related to, so there is a deficit angle proportional to the tension. And if this deficit angle is between 0 and 2 pi, it gives us this restriction for the tension of the lower dimensional. Okay? And since this scale is typically lower than the Planck scale, we see that this window is restricted. Okay. So we see here the main feature we wanted to find. So we have flat space on the brain, irrespective of the tension. So there is a wide range of tensions that we can choose, and still find this flat solution. But this range is not wide enough. So that's why we will go to the higher convention case.
Where does xi enter?
Sorry?
Xi, this coefficient of the topological term, where does it enter?
It doesn't enter.
Doesn't enter.
No.
So that means that those additional terms do not contribute to the dispersion?
Not at this level. Okay, one second. So let's see linearized gravity on this side. So at the linear level, if you study the propagation of gravitons in this background, what you see is that it gives the same contributions as you would get from an action of this form. Okay, so what the Gauss-Bonnet terms are giving you are something that mimics a lower dimensional Einstein-Hilbert term and something that mimics a tension. Okay? And the relation, and here's where psi enters. So you obtain effectively an induced Einstein-Hilbert term with this induced Planck scale and this tension. So you could either start with this term in the original action or not, and it will be induced at the linearized level. Okay. Of course, this linear approximation at the nonlinear level, the two theories, one starting with this or not, differ slightly. But at the linear level, they are different. One point that one has to be careful in analyzing linear gravity in this background is because we have a tension full brain, we are raising some of the diffeomorphisms. So there are subtleties in reaching certain gauges. Okay. However, one can do the linearized analysis irrespective of a gauge choice. One can be completely general. This is what we do here. And find the solutions for the linearized equations of motion. H mu nu are the fluctuations of the metric on the brain, right? Mu nu are the brain directions. And chi ij are in the extra space, in the two extra dimensions. Chi being the trace of those linearized perturbations. And one can solve, and there are two cases. For P here would be P mu, P mu. Mu are the directions on the brain. So this is the lower dimensional momentum. And there are two cases, P squared different from zero, and P squared equal to zero. For P squared different from zero, away from the brain, the perturbations exactly vanish. So the linearized solutions are confined to the brain, and they take this form. And you recognize this. This is a capital D minus 2 graviton amplitude. And there are these extra terms that would vanish when we contact with a conserved source. Okay? If you contact with a T mu nu that is conserved, that would go away. And there is an extra scalar propagation on the brain. At P equals zero, one gets these profiles that are logarithmic. One has to regularize to make this computation. And an epsilon width on the brain. And you see this is not normalized, so this would not be part of the state.
The first one is a massive terminal. It's p squared different from zero.
Yeah.
But these are the total number of dimensions.
Right. So you take take a brain in, so 3 plus 1 brain on 6 dimensions, this looks like massless.
Yeah.
Right.
But this P squared is a 4-dimensional mass of
gravity. Yes.
So that's a 4-dimensional mass of gravity.
Well, it's a structure. You don't have the massless ball, right? So this would be the massless.
I'm sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
Okay, so this is the analysis of this case. But as I mentioned, we want more flexibility in the amount of tension that we want to introduce in the, on the brain. And for that, we go to higher codimension case to add this extra complexity and see what happens. But the problem is once you have higher codimension brains with tension, the singularity structure becomes more involved. So not only we have singularities at the origin, like the conical singularity we had before in the dimension 2 case, but this new feature appears. So one has singularities a finite distance from the origin in the X space. So one has to deal with this problem. One way is to take this path. So instead of considering a T minus T world volume brain, replace it with, so this is, if this is the extra space, T minus T world volume brain would be just a point in the extra space. Instead of considering this one, extend it into the extra space to fill a sphere. So to take the world volume to also take part into a T minus one spherical shell. So effectively, the world volume takes all but one of the dimensions. So this is an effective codimension one brain, right? And this epsilon is a very small radius. So taking this path, the action is like this, and it's effectively a codimension one ray. So we expect not to have this finite distance singularity. However, when you do that and you don't include the Gauss-Bonnet term, the singularity still appears. So including this term cures that problem. So let's see how we do this. So the action has the following form, effectively a codimension one brain that is spread on this lower dimensional, but has this sphere blow up, and take these ansatz. Again, we are looking for Minkowski B minus B brain, and here's the element on the sphere work with these two work factors, A and B, depending on the radial direction in the extra dimensions. One property of the Gauss-Bonnet combination is that we have no third or fourth order derivatives in the equations of motion. So we still are working with equations in two derivatives. We specialize further to the case of codimension three, because there you get huge simplifications in the terms coming from the Gauss-Bonnet combination. And we want to see if we have this feature. Right? It's diluting property. So the solutions have this flat space on the brain, irrespective of the tension that we include in the action. Okay, so the equation of motion takes this form in the radial direction. Some they depend on A prime, B, B prime, B double prime. And in the other directions, we have the delta function coming from the spherical shell that we introduced. So we will solve away from the brain and inside of the spherical shell, and then impose tension conditions. And there are always two types of solutions we can find. There is always the flat solution, A and B constant, and then there are non-trivial solutions. So this gives two possibilities. We can either look for interior solutions, where we have the non-trivial ones inside of the spherical shell and flat outside, and the other way around, the exterior ones. And we did the study of those possibilities for different dimensionality of the bulk, always in codimension 3, but changing capital V. So we worked with string in 5 dimensions, membrane in 6 dimensions, three-way in 7 dimensions. To simplify things further, we took out the Isaac-Hilbert in the bulk, because then you get extra simplification of equations. And then we went to the more the other case where we include both Einstein-Hilbert and Gaussian in the bulk. What I will show is the simplest case of the first type and the more realistic three brain in 7 dimensions with these two terms in the bulk. So the string in 5 dimensions without the Einstein-Hilbert in the bulk is this one. The equations of motion are there. And we have the two types of solution I was mentioning, A and B constant, so the flat solution that is always there, and the non-trivial one that has this form. Takes the form of logarithms with these two possibilities for this power alpha. So it's either alpha plus or minus, 1 plus or minus 1 over square root of me. So the form of the non-trivial solution is this one. But we see there is a danger of singularities both at 0 or at infinity. We can look at the curvature invariance, for example, Ricci scalar, and also look at radial geodesics, sigma the time parameter, this radial geodesics, and we can see what happens as we take R to infinity for the exterior solutions, or R to 0 for interior solutions. You see that for one of the two signs, either the scalar curvature will blow up or not. So if we take for the interior solutions the alpha plus, so the plus sign, we see that the affine parameter for R going to 0 is infinite, it goes to infinity. So we have complete geodesics. However, the Riemann, the Ricci scalar goes to 0. Okay? So these are sensible solutions. And the same happens for the exterior ones if we choose alpha minus. So we get complete geodesics and R goes to 0, infinity. Okay, so that's how we avoid singularities by making these choices. Then we have to still satisfy the junction conditions. And you see there are two parameters, RA and RB, integration constants. But these junction conditions depend on only one of them. And that's a problem because what happens is that the tension will become dependent on the parameters of the theory. Okay? This L is the ratio of the two scales, this over this. So the tension is fixed by the parameters of the theory. We don't get this freedom inducing the tension. So, but that's only for this case in particular, that because it's too simple, the five-dimensional bulk. As soon as we go to the six-dimensional or seven-dimensional, and we get a window for this lambda parameter, the solutions become diluting. They have this diluting property. So the next case I want to discuss is this tree brain in seven dimensions with both terms Einstein-Hilbert and Gauss-Bonnet in the bulk. And to treat that one, it's better to make these definitions, take the logarithmic derivative of the work factors A and B, and define this E and U, and take this combination to be a new radial variable Z in the extra space. And the equations of motion that we want to solve are from the RR equation, we can express one of the work factors in terms of the other one and the radial direction. So this is a quadratic equation for U. So there are two solutions, U plus and U minus. And then all that remains is to solve this other first order, very nonlinear differential equation. So G1 and G2 are polynomials in E and C. So all we have to do is impose the matching condition. So these are the solutions outside or inside of the spherical shell. We have then to impose the junction conditions at R equal epsilon and study the behavior of this equation as we go to, for the exterior solutions with R to plus infinity, or for the interior ones as we go from with R to zero, and see if we get singularities or not. So approximate equations in the red regions where we could get singularities, and see if they are true singularities or just coordinate singularities. So it becomes a study of that differential equation. And remember, there were these two possibilities for U, so a plus and minus case. In the plus case, you get this type of parameter space for the work factor and the radial coordinate. So depending on when you are imposing the matching conditions, you will be fixing a point in this graph, and from there you have to flow your solution to for the exterior solutions to values of Z that correspond to R going to infinity, or for the interior to values of Z that correspond to R going to zero. So there are different regions that corresponds to choosing, to being able to choose negative tension or positive tension on the brain. And some of those will be suitable for exterior solutions, and some of those will be suitable for interior solutions. It turns out that the ones valid for exterior solutions are all singular. They all end up in singularities. And the interior solutions are all singular but one. Okay? In this region, the flow goes like this. your solutions tend to this form. And it's only coordinate singularity satisfying, unlike zero. Unfortunately, this is only valid for negative tensions. Okay, so that's what happens in this plus case. You can do this analysis for the minus case. Again, some regions of these parameters will be consistent with positive or negative tensions. Some of those will be consistent with exterior solutions, the ones colored here. And you have that those are similar except for these ones, where you get your flow to flat space when you go with R to from far away. But that's consistent with negative tension. And finally, the interior solutions, some are singular, some are compatible with negative tensions, and some are compatible with positive tensions. Okay. And this is the only interesting region in all these graphs. Okay, so we find in this co-dimensional three brain, some region in parameter space that is compatible with positive tensions. And so it's a wide parameter range. So this, the tension that we can include here is in principle arbitrary. So it's much wider than the co-dimension two case. In particular, we could easily accommodate for a TEB tension on the brain or even higher. So that's the bottom line. If you want to see how these work factors look like for different choices of the parameters, which are plotted here for A and B. And that's essentially the main result. So we found for the interior case, infinite volume three brain solutions with flat wall volume for a very wide range positive values of the brain tension that could account for the 0 point energies of standard model fields. One could look at there are further issues to be analyzed, like the stability of these configurations. What happens if we change parameters? Are these solutions stable at all? Then one has to study gravity. How does gravity propagate in these setups? We haven't done the linearized analysis. However, these setups provide a fruitful arena to study the phenomenon of the dilution of the cosmological constant and may hint on a possible way towards the solution of the SCP problem. There could be extra scalars. But that goes into the linearized analysis.
Sorry, I'm feeling a bit late with dealing with these singularities in the bulk. Gio had some argument that if you allow the brain to inflate, then you might generate horizon.
Right, so that's the alternatives. These are flat solutions, static solutions. There is the other possibility to allow to inflate, replace singularities by horizons. But that's another approach.
So it depends strongly on the presence of the gas.
this depends strongly on higher curvature terms. I don't know how much it depends on the Gauss-Bonnet combination. If you put it down to zero, yes. So the higher curvature terms are helping in smoothing out.
So you can almost use it.
Yeah, and well, the fact that we use Gauss-Bonnet is for simplicity reasons, right? Yeah. The fact that your equations become second order.
I have a general question that I also asked yesterday, which is, do we know if this nice degrading behavior, so to speak, is stable against putting matter?
That I don't know. So it's the same answer.
I wonder whether you have a different opinion.
Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
I wonder if this nice degrading behavior by having these higher codimensions, whether it's stable against putting matter on the brain. Because most all the solutions are pure attention.
You know, you can always at least partially try to answer it if you have exact solutions in closed form. You know, that will solve your equations. I mean, at least in one limit. General matter is hard. Put a photon on the brain. Okay, because then, thanks to the magic of gravity in the infinite Boost limit, the equations are exactly solved. And then you just see.